Adults, if you want one, I can make you one after worship, too. Our New Testament, our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. You can follow along in your pew Bible, page 3 of the New Testament. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I am a list maker. I have grand satisfaction in creating a list for the day. Oh, in the glee of crossing off a task of an accomplishment completed. I confess before you today, I am a list maker. So a few years ago, when someone asked me about all my post-it note lists and various journals of lists, "Why do you do that, Neely?" "Well, I have to," I said. "I have to go to work, and I have to take care of the family alongside Robert, and I have to go volunteer. I have to do these things. Why are you asking? These are my lists." She challenged me in my perspective that day. "Neely, it's not a have to do. It's a get to do. You get to do all those various things." She said, "Neely, you get to clean up spaghetti noodles after spaghetti night when they've landed on the wall from the girls. You get to go to the home of a beloved church member as they are recovering from surgery. You get to. You get to be a wife and to be a mom, and to be a minister. You get to go to the church office every single day and be surprised by the God of surprises, because we all know that's what ministry is." So after this encounter with my friend, I changed my perspective. And you will see, at the top of every list, it says, "Get to do." Therefore, church, I hope that as we enter this Lenten season, we have a perspective, an intentional attitude of openness, that we get to enter into the wilderness. Lent begins in the wilderness. The Spirit guides Jesus into the wilderness, where he becomes face to face with temptation and struggle. Yet in his 40 days of fasting, resisting, and wandering, Jesus is shaped, informed, for ministry. So similarly, through wilderness, the wilderness we are called to of Lent, we are invited to surrender ourselves to the wild leadings of the Spirit as she dances. And hopefully in the wilderness, we will remember who we are and whose we are. We get to spend 40 days on the journey ahead. 40 days in reflection, in renewal, and in some really risky business. So let's enter the gospel. Jesus has just been baptized, and the scripture reads that Jesus has been baptized, and as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, aligning with him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved." And then what happens next? Jesus must go. And that's our text today. He is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. A desert. Barren. No place to hide. Exposed. And vulnerable in the wilderness. And we too, church, must go. Jesus is hungry from fasting. You know, the stomach is grumbling, the humanity of Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights. And then the tempter comes on the scene and tempts Jesus three times. Why, we might ask, is the tempter's cunning self testing Jesus? One interpretation would suggest that the temptation is to illumine the answer to the question of, what does it mean to be the Son of God? So in the tempter's asking and in Jesus' response, we learn more of who God is. The questions begin. If you are who you say you are, Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Comfort those hunger pains we all have. The second question, if you say you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple, you will be safe. Right, Jesus? The tempter continues with the third, I will give you all of this, the world and its splendor. Just worship me and I'll give you dominion and power. Oh, wouldn't that be nice, Jesus? And all three times, Jesus said no. No, because Jesus said, one does not live from bread alone, but on the word of God. Jesus leans into what he knows to be true. No, Jesus says, because you do not put the Lord God to the test. Jesus leans in and holds fast to what he knows to be true. And the third time, no, away from me, Satan, Jesus commands with authority in his own voice. Then quoting, worship the Lord your God and only serve him. Jesus leans in and trusts in what he knows to be true. Church, you see, Jesus enters the wilderness and is now tired and tested and tempted, and we get to go too. But because in fact, we know that we've been there before. We know all too well how enticing it is to give in to our temptations around us. We are teased at every twist and turn. We too are tempted. Yet unlike Jesus, we have to confess this Lent that we give in. We point our fingers at another instead of doing the hard inner work of looking at ourselves. We fall in the muck of idolatry, of wealth and accumulation, rather than trusting in God's abundance. We view our way better than the other, and we put others down to build ourselves up. We fail to share our toys on the playground. We say yes. Oh, and I do this too. We say yes to get our hands on anything for self-gratification and self-promotion, don't we? How dare we to say that we if we found ourselves in the garden that day, wouldn't have eaten of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, because we already did. And we do it over and over and over again. So that is why we must go into the wilderness to remind ourselves that we, in fact, are not God, and that God is sovereign, so that we might realize that the little gods of our creating, they're not where we should place our trust and lean in on for truth. Perhaps it is in the wilderness we are able to remove all those things that distract us from realizing and discovering God's provisions for each and every one of us as individuals and as a community of faith. It is in the wilderness that we are stretched to trust in God over ourselves. What a sweet, sweet reminder, church. Jesus, in his physical weakness of the journey, stood firm in his convictions. Every time he's given the opportunity to give up, to say, I surrender, throw his hands up and walk out, he rested reassured in the foundation of who God is, holding fast to knowing who he is and what God must do. One theologian writes, Jesus the incarnate needed every ounce of trust he could muster up to survive the wilderness. And we too have that prayer. So perhaps the purpose of the wilderness is for us to take a risk into the unknown, to learn more about ourselves and our stamina when it comes to the faith, relying on God's activity pointing to something bigger, more grand, more full of its grace, pointing to the activity of the cross, the activity of the empty tomb. You may have heard it said that music evokes memory, a memory of a faith foundation. That's why when selecting hymns, when one enters the church triumphant, it's so important for the memories that it evokes. So this adolescent boy, this young boy, was on a hiking trail of the Appalachian Mountains. And having seen the weather forecast, he decided to go anyway and just take a chance, an attempt to conquer the trail before the storm came. He was in need of some solitude, and to be out in God's good creation, to bask in the sun, to breathe in the fresh air, the clouds rolling, time passing. He was tired from the trails, the rocks, and what he thought was sweat was the start of raindrops. He had noticed the clouds, the storm clouds. His watch ticked. He didn't have time to get to his destination. He would have to stay there, for lightning was about to strike and he needed to take cover. He was exposed to the elements. He was vulnerable. The rain beating down on his back. He found a rock to sit near. The thunder was rolling, the lightning piercing the sky. Evening began to drape over the trees. He was alone and he was scared. And he was vulnerable to the unknown. And then, much to his surprise, he found himself humming the tune, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. He found himself in a literal wilderness. And in that moment, leaned in on his faith foundation of comfort in a time of the unknown. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Maybe we can relate in our own lives when we have found ourselves in the wilderness or get to go to the wilderness. In times of new beginnings, in times of grief and loss and transition, in times of hurt and pain. Perhaps we're hungry for more goodness, hungry for more peace, hungry for more gratitude. We find ourselves vulnerable. And at risk of being too vulnerable before you today, when I have found myself in the wilderness, whether it be a get-to-do, spirit-led life circumstances, I have leaned in on the faith foundation of the proverb, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely and lean on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him." The 40 days, they're not meant to be easy. I wish they were so I could tell you some of that good news, but there's good news in the wilderness. It's not meant to be easy. In fact, walking with Jesus, the Jesus way, shouldn't be easy. Our hands should be dirty because the wilderness teaches us. Teaches something about ourselves, about who God is. We get to enter into a space where we might stumble, and that's okay. We get to enter into a space where we might long to get out. We are hungry. We're spiritually hungry. We don't want to be vulnerable before God and one another. But we get to enter into a space this Lenten season where God meets us time and time again, shaping us for the road ahead. Debbie Thomas, in her essay, Into the Wild, writes these words. "Maybe we, like Jesus, need long stints in the wilderness to learn what it really means to be God's beloved. Because the unnerving fact is this: we can be beloved and uncomfortable at the same time. In the wilderness, the love that survives is flinty, not soft, salvific, not sentimental. Learning to trust in the wilderness takes time. In church today, we are given the time to rest and to bask in this wilderness way. For as I reminded the children on Ash Wednesday, we heard the words, in life and in death, we belong to God. And today we hear that God is in the wilderness, and we belong to God when we're in the wilderness as well. A God who loves us and chooses us, saying yes to God's activity of redeeming a broken creation. So we must go. All of us, our full selves, body, mind, and spirit. We get to. And in doing so, we don't go alone. Hear these words from St. Patrick, that God goes before us to lead us. God goes behind us to protect us. God goes beneath us to support us. God walks beside us always. For God is with us before, through, and after the wilderness. And we must go. Church, it's a get-to-do.